for other business I say nothing till the Lord give me to see your face. I am credibly informed that multitudes of England, and especially worthy preachers and silenced preachers of London, are gone to New England. And I know one learned holy preacher who hath written against the Arminians, who is gone thither. The immigration of preachers and people to New England was the consequence of the persecuting measures pursued by Archbishop Laud for enforcing conformity in the prosecution of his favorite scheme of bringing the Church of England as near to that of Rome as could consort with his own supremacy and that of his sovereign. About 70 ministers and 4,000 other persons immigrated to the American continent to escape the tyranny of Laud and his agents. Our blessed Lord Jesus, who cannot get leave to sleep with his spouse in this land, is going to seek an inn where he will be better entertained. And what marvel, wearied Jesus, after he had traveled from Geneva by the ministry of worthy Mr. Knox, and was laid in his bed, and reformation begun, and the curtains drawn, had not gotten his dear eyes well together, when irreverent bishops came in, and with the din and noise of ceremonies, holy days, and other Romish corruptions, they awake our beloved. Others came to his bedside and drew the curtains and put hands on his servants, banished, deprived, and confined them. And for the pulpit they got a stool and a cold fire in the Blackness. Blackness Castle on the Forth was used as a prison. And the nobility drew the covering off him, and have made him a poor naked Christ, spoiling his servants of the tithes and kirk rents. And now there is such a noise of crying sins in the land as the want of the knowledge of God, of mercy and truth. Such swearing, whoring, lying, and blood, touching blood, that Christ is putting on his clothes and making him like an ill-handled stranger to go to other lands, in the sense of making a show of or appearing as if he would go. Luke 24:28. Pray him, sister, to lie down again with his beloved. Remember my dearest love to John Gordon, to whom I will write when I am strong, and to John Brown, Grisel, Samuel, and William. Grace be upon them. As you love Christ, keep Christ's favor, and put not upon him when he sleeps to awake him before he please. The Lord Jesus be with your spirit, your brother in Christ, S.R., Anwath, July 21, 1630. Letter 13. For Marion McNaught, when exposed to reproach for her principles. Jesus, a pattern of patience under suffering. Well, beloved sister, I have been thinking since my departure from you of the pride and malice of your adversaries, and ye may not, since ye have had the book of Psalms so often, take hardly with this. For David's enemies snuffed at him, and through the pride of their heart said, "The Lord will not require it." Psalm 10:13. I beseech you, therefore, in the bowels of Jesus, set before your eyes the patience of your forerunner Jesus, who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him who judgeth righteously. 1 Peter 2:23. And since your Lord and Redeemer, with patience, received many a black stroke on his glorious back, and many a buffet of the unbelieving world, and says of himself, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Isaiah 4:6. Follow him, and think it not hard that you receive a blow with your Lord. Take part with Jesus of his sufferings and glory in the marks of Christ. If this storm were over, you must prepare yourself for a new wound. For 5,000 years ago, our Lord proclaimed deadly war betwixt the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And marvel not that one town cannot keep the children of God and the children of the devil, for one belly could not keep Jacob and Esau, Genesis 25:22. One house could not keep peaceably together Isaac, the son of the promise, and Ishmael, the son of the handmaid, Genesis 21:10. Be you upon Christ's side of it, and care not what flesh can do. Hold yourself fast by your Savior, albeit you be buffeted and those that follow him. Yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. If you can possess your soul in patience, their day is coming. Worthy and dear sister, know to carry yourself in trouble, and when you are hated and reproached, the Lord shows it to you. All this is come upon us. Yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Psalm 44:17. Unless thy law had been my delight, I had perished in mine affliction. Psalm 119:92. Keep God's covenant in your trials, hold you by his blessed word, and sin not. Flee anger, wrath, grudging, envying, fretting. Forgive 110 to your fellow servant, because your Lord hath forgiven you 10,000 talents. For I assure you by the Lord, your adversaries shall get no advantage against you, except you sin and offend your Lord in your sufferings. But the way to overcome is by patience, forgiving and praying for your enemies, in doing whereof you heap coals upon their heads, and your Lord shall open a door to you in your troubles. Wait upon him, as the night watch waiteth for the morning. He will not tarry. Go up to your watchtower, and come not down, but by prayer and faith and hope, wait on. When the sea is full, it will ebb again. And so soon as the wicked are come to the top of their pride, and are waxed high and mighty, then is their change approaching. They that believe, make not haste. Remember Zion, forget her not, for her enemies are many, for the nations are gathered together against her. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion. Micah 4:12-13. Behold, God hath gathered his enemies together as sheaves to the threshing. Let us stay and rest upon these promises. Now again, I trust in our Lord, you shall by faith sustain yourself and comfort yourself in your Lord and be strong in his power. For you are in the beaten and common way to heaven when you are under our Lord's crosses. You have reason to rejoice in it more than in a crown of gold, and rejoice and be glad to bear the reproaches of Christ. I rest, recommending you and yours forever to the grace and mercy of God. Yours in Christ, S.R. Anwath, February 11, 1631. Letter 14 for Marion McNaught in the prospect of a communion season. Abundance in Jesus, the restoration of the Jews, enemies of God. Well, beloved in the Lord, you are not unacquainted with the day of our communion. I entreat, therefore, the aid of your prayers for that great work, which is one of our feast days, wherein our well-beloved Jesus rejoiceth and is merry with his friends. Good cause have we to wonder at his love, since the day of his death was such a sorrowful day to him, even the day when his mother, the Kirk, crowned him with thorns, and he had many against him, and compared his lone in the fields against them all. Yet he delights with us to remember that day. Let us love him and be glad and rejoice in his salvation. I am confident that you shall see the Son of God that day, and I dare in his name invite you to his banquet. Many a time you have been well entertained in his house, and he changes not upon his friends, nor chides them for too great kindness. Yet I speak not this to make you leave off to pray for me, who have nothing of myself, but in so far as daily I receive from him, who is made of his Father, a running over fountain, at which I and others may come with thirsty souls and fill our vessels. Long hath this well been standing open to us. Lord Jesus, lock it not up again against us. I am sorry for our desolate kirk, yet I dare not but trust. So long as there be any of God's lost money here, he shall not blow out the candle. The Lord make fair candlesticks in his house and remove the blind light. I have been this time bypassed, thinking much of the incoming of the Kirk of the Jews. So in his Trial of Faith, page 133, published 1655, pray for them. When they were in their Lord's house, at their father's elbow, they were longing for the incoming of their little sister, the Kirk of the Gentiles. They said to their Lord, "We have a little sister, and she hath no breasts. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for?" Canticles 8:8. Let us give them a meeting. What shall we do for our elder sister, the Jews? Lord Jesus, give them breasts. That were a glad day to see us and them both sit down to one table, and Christ at the head of the table. Then would our Lord come shortly with his fair guard to hold his great court. Dear sister, be patient for the Lord's sake under the wrongs that you suffer of the wicked. Your Lord shall make you see your desire on your enemies. Some of them shall be cut off. They shall shake off their unripe grapes as the vine and cast off their flower as the olive. Job 15:33. God shall make them like unripe, sour grapes, shaken off the tree with the blast of God's wrath, and therefore pity them and pray for them. Others of them must remain to exercise you. God hath said of them, let the tares grow up until harvest. Matthew 13:30. It proves you to be your Lord's wheat. Be patient. Christ went to heaven with many a wrong. His visage and countenance was all marred more than the sons of men. You may not be above your master. Many a black stroke received innocent Jesus, and he received no mends, but referred them all to the great court day when all things shall be righted. I desire to hear from you within a day or two if Mr. Robert remain in his purpose to come and help us. God shall give you joy of your children. I pray for them by their names. I bless you from our Lord, your husband and children. Grace, grace, and mercy be multiplied upon you. Yours in the Lord forever. S.R. Anwath, May 7, 1631. Letter 15 for Marion McNaught on occasion of the threatened introduction of the Episcopalian Service Book. Troubles of the Church, Private Wrongs. Well, beloved sister, my love in Christ remembered, I have received a letter from Edinburgh certainly informing me that the English service and the organs and the King James's psalms are to be imposed upon our Kirk, and that the bishops are dealing for a General Assembly. A.R. hath confirmed the news also, and says he spoke with Sir William Alexander, who is to come down with his prince's warrant for that effect. Sir W. Alexander of Menstrie, afterwards Earl of Stirling. I am desired in the received letter to acquaint the best affected about me with that storm. Therefore I entreat you and charge you in the Lord's name, pray. But do not communicate this to any till I see you. My heart is broken at the remembrance of it, and it was my fear, and answereth to my last letter except one that I wrote unto you. Dearly beloved, be not cast down, but let us, as our Lord's doves, take us to our wings, for other armor we have none, and flee into the hole of the rock. It is true, A.R. says, the worthiest men in England are banished and silenced about the number of 16 or 17 choice gospel preachers, and the persecution is already begun. Howbeit, I do not write this unto you with a dry face, yet I am confident in the Lord's strength. Christ and his side shall overcome, and you shall be assured. The Kirk were not a Kirk if it were not so. As our dear husband, in wooing his Kirk, received many a black stroke, so his bride, in wooing him, gets many blows, and in this wooing there are strokes upon both sides. Let it be so. The devil will not make the marriage go back, neither can he tear the contract. The end shall be mercy. Yet notwithstanding of all this, we have no warrant of God to leave off all lawful means. I have been writing unto you the counsels and drafts of men against the Kirk, but they know not, as Micah says, the counsel of Jehovah. The great men of the world may make ready the fiery furnace for Zion, but trow ye that they can cause the fire to burn? No. He that made the fire, I trust, shall not say amen to their decrees. I trust in my Lord that God hath not subscribed to their bill, and their conclusions have not yet passed our great King's seal. Therefore, if ye think good, address yourself first to the Lord and then to AR, anent, the business that you know. I am most unkindly handled by the presbytery, and as if I had been a stranger and not a member of that seat to sit in judgment with them, I was summoned by their order as a witness against B.A. But they have got no advantage in that matter. Other particulars you shall hear, God willing, at meeting. Anent, the matter betwixt you and I.E., I remember it to God. I entreat you in the Lord, be submissive to His will, for the higher that their pride mounts up, they are the nearer to a fall. The Lord will more and more discover that man. Let your husband, in all matters of judgment, take Christ's part for the defense of the poor and needy and the oppressed, for the maintenance of equity and justice in the town, and take you no fear. He shall take your part, and then you are strong enough. What? Howbeit you receive indignities for your Lord's sake, let it be so. When He shall put His holy hand up to your face in heaven and dry your face and wipe the tears from your eyes, judge if He will not have cause then to rejoice. And in other particulars, if you would speak with me, appoint any of the first 3 days of the next week in Carltown, when Carltown is at home, and acquaint me with your desires. Carlton in Galloway, see note in letter 157, not far from Anwath, where Mr. Fullerton, a true friend, resided. And remember me to God, and my dearest affection to your husband, and for Zion's sake hold not your peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, and your husband and children, yours in the Lord. S. R. Anwath, June 2, 1631. Letter 16. For Marion McNaught, on occasion of a proposal to remove him from Anwath. Babylon's destruction and Christ's coming, the young invited. Worthy and dear mistress, my dearest love in Christ remembered, as to the business which I know you would so fain have taken effect, my earnest desire is that you stand still. Haste not, and you shall see the salvation of God. The great Master Gardener, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in a wonderful providence with His own hand, I dare, if it were for edification, swear it, planted me here, where by His grace in this part of His vineyard I grow, at Anwath. I dare not say, but Satan and the world, one of His pages, whom He sends on His errands, have said otherwise. And here I will abide till the great Master of the vineyard think fit to transplant me. But when He sees meet to loose me at the root, and to plant me where I may be more useful, both as to fruit and shadow, and when He who planted pulleth up, that He may transplant who dare put to their hand and hinder. If they do, God shall break their arm at the shoulder blade and do His turn. When our Lord is going west, the devil and the world go east. And do you not know that it hath been ever this way betwixt God and the world? God drawing and they holding, God yea and the world nay? But they fall on their back and are frustrate, and our Lord holdeth His grip. Wherefore doth the word say that our Christ, the good man of this house, His dear Kirk, hath feet like fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace? Revelation 1:15. for no other cause but because where our Lord setteth down his brazen feet, he will forward, and whithersoever he looketh, he will follow his look, and his feet burn all under them, like as fire doth a stubble and thorns. I think he hath now given the world a proof of his exceeding great power, when he is doing such great things, wherein Zion is concerned, by the sword of the Swedish king, as of a Gideon, Gustavus Adolphus. As you love the glory of God, pray instantly. Yea, engage all your praying acquaintance, and take their faithful promise to do the like. For this king, and every one that Zion's a king, armeth to execute the written vengeance on Babylon. Our Lord hath begun to loose some of Babylon's corner stones. Pray to him to hold on, for that city must fall, and the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth must make a banquet of Babylon, for he hath invited them to eat the flesh of that whore and to drink her blood. And the cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto her, and shameful spewing shall be upon her glory. He whose word must stand hath said, take this cup at the hand of the Lord, and drink, and be drunken, and spew, and fall, and rise no more. Jeremiah 25:27. Our Jesus is setting up himself as his Father's ensign, Isaiah 11:10, as God's fair white colors, that his soldiers may all flock about him. Long, long may these colors stand. It is long since he displayed a banner against Babylon in the fight of men and angels. Let us rejoice and triumph in our God. The victory is certain, for when Christ and Babel wrestle, then angels and saints may prepare themselves to sing, Babylon the Great is fallen, is fallen. Howbeit, that prince of renown, precious Jesus, be now weeping and bleeding in his members, yet Christ will laugh again, and it is time enough for us to laugh when our Lord Christ laugheth, and that will be shortly. For when we hear of wars and rumors of wars, the judge's feet are then before the door, and he must be in heaven giving orders to the angels to make themselves ready and prepare their hooks and sickles for that great harvest. Christ will be upon us in haste. Watch but a little, and ere long the skies will rive, and that fair, lovely person, Jesus, shall come in the clouds, freighted and loaded with glory. And then all these knaves and foxes that destroyed the vines shall call to the hills and cry to the mountains to cover them and hide them from the face of him who sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Remember me to your husband, and desire him from me to help Christ, and to take his part, and in judgment sit ever beside him, and receive a blow patiently for his sake. For he is worthy to be suffered for, not only to blows, but also to blood. He shall find that innocency and uprightness in judgment shall hold its feet and make him happy when joking will not do it. I speak this because a person said to me, I pray God the country be not in worse case now when the provost and baileys are agreed than formerly. To whom I replied, I trust the provost is agreed with the man's person, but not with his faults. I pray for you with my whole soul and desire that your children may walk in the truth, and that the Lord may shine upon them and make their faces to shine when the faces of others shall blush. I dare promise them in his name, whose truth I preach, if they will but try God's service, that they shall find him the sweetest master that ever they served, and desire them from me but to try for a while the service of this blessed master. And then, if his service be not sweet, if it afford not what is pleasant to the soul's taste, change him upon trial and seek a better. Christ is an unknown Christ to the young ones, and therefore they seek him not because they know him not. Bid them come and see and seek a kiss of his mouth, and then they will find his mouth is so sweet that they will be everlastingly chained unto him by their own consent. If I have any credit with your children, I entreat them in Christ's name to try what truth and reality is in what I say, and leave not his service till they have found me a liar. I give you, your husband, and them, to his keeping, to whom I have, and dare venture myself and soul, even to our dear friend Jesus Christ, in whom I am yours, S.R. Anwath. Letter 17 for Marion McNaught, when in distress as to prospects of the church. Arminianism, call to prayer, no help but in Christ. Well, beloved sister, my dearest love in Christ remembered to you, know that I am in great heaviness for the pitiful case of our Lord's Kirk. I hear the cause why Dr. Burton is committed to prison is his writing and preaching against the Arminians. Henry Burton, an able divine of the Church of England, wrote several vigorous pieces against popery and against Montague's Appello Caesarum. I therefore entreat the aid of your prayers for myself and the Lord's captives of hope and for Zion. The Lord hath let, and daily lets me see clearly, how deep furrows Arminianism and the followers of it draw upon the back of God's Israel, but our Lord cuts the cords of the wicked. Zion said, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." Isaiah 49:14. Zion weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are upon her cheeks. Amongst all her lovers she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Lamentations 1:2. Our silver is become dross, our wine mixed with water, Isaiah 1:22. How is the gold become dim? How is the most fine gold changed? The stones of the sanctuary are poured out in the top of every street. The precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold, how are they esteemed as earthen pitchers, the work of the hands of the potter? Lamentations 9:1-2. It is time now for the Lord's secret ones who favor the dust of Zion to cry, "How long, Lord?" and to go up to their watchtower and to stay there and not to come down until the vision speak, for it shall speak. Habakkuk 2:3. In the meantime, the just shall live by faith. Let us wait on and not weary. I have not a thread to hang upon and rest, but this one. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, she may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Isaiah 49:15-16. For all outward helps do fail. It is time, therefore, for us to hang ourselves as our Lord's vessels upon the nail that is fastened in a sure place. We would make stakes of our own fastening, but they will break. Our Lord will have Zion on His own nail. Edom is busy within us, and Babel without us, against the handful of Jacob's seed. It were best that we were upon Christ's side of it, for His enemies will get the stocks to keep, as the proverb is. Our greatest difficulty will be to win upon the rock now, when the wind and waves of persecution are so lofty and proud. Let sweet Jesus take us by the hand. Neither must we think that it will be otherwise, for it is told to the souls under the altar that their fellow servants must be killed as they were. Revelation 6:11. Surely it cannot be long to the day. Nay, hear Him say, "Behold, I come, my dear bride, think not long. I shall be at you at once. I hear you and am coming." Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. For the prisoners of hope are looking out at the prison windows to see if they can behold the King's ambassador coming with the King's warrant and the keys. I write not to you by guess now, because I have a warrant to say unto you, the garments of Christ's spouse must be once again dyed in blood, as long ago her husband's were. But our Father sees His bleeding Son. What I write unto you, show it to I.G. Grace, grace, grace and mercy be with you, your husband and children. Yours in the Lord, S.R. Anwath. Letter 18 for Marion McNaught in the prospect of a communion season. Prayer solicited, the Church's prospect. Mistress, my love in Christ as remembered, our communion is on Sabbath come 8 days, Sabbath that comes 8 days after this. I will entreat you to recommend it to God and to pray for me in that work. I have more sins upon me now than the last time. Therefore I will beseech you in Christ, seek this petition to me from God, that the Lord would give me grace to vow and perform new obedience. I have cause to suit this of you, and show it to Thomas Carson, Fergus, and Jean Brown, for I have been and am exceedingly cast down, and am fighting against a malicious devil of whom I can win little ground. I would think a spoil plucked from him and his trusty servant Sin a lawful and just conquest. And it were no sin to take from him in the name of the good man of our house, our King Jesus. I invite you to the banquet. He saith, ye shall be dearly welcome to him, and I desire to believe, howbeit not without great fear. He shall be as hearty in his own house as he has been before. For me it is but small reckoning, but I would fain have our Father and Lord to break the great fair loaf, Christ, and to distribute His slain Son amongst the bairns of His house, and that if any were a step bairn in respect of comfort and sense, it were rather myself than his poor bairns. Therefore, bid our well-beloved come to his garden and feed among the lilies. And as concerning Zion, I hope our Lord, who sent his angel, Zechariah 2, 1 and 2, with a measuring line in his hand to measure the length and breadth of Jerusalem, in token, he would not want a foot length or inch of his own free heritage, shall take order with those who have taken away many acres of his own land from him. And God will build Jerusalem in the old stead and place where it was before. In this hope, rejoice and be glad. Christ's garment was not dipped in blood for nothing, but for his bride, whom he bought with strokes. I will desire you to remember my old suits to God, God's glory, and the increase of light that I dry not up. For your town, hope and believe that the Lord will gather in his loose sheaves among you to his barn, and send one with a well-toothed, sharp hook and strong guardies to reap his harvest. And the Lord Jesus be husbandman and oversee the growing. Remember my love to your husband and to Samuel, grace upon you and your children. Lord, make them cornerstones in Jerusalem, and give them grace in their youth to take band with the fair chief cornerstone who was hewed out of the mountain without hands, and got many a knock with his father's forehammer, and endured them all, and the stone did neither cleave nor break. Upon that stone make your soul to lie. King Jesus, be with your spirit, your friend in his well-beloved Lord Jesus, S.R. Anwath. Letter 19 to my Lady Kenmure. Encouragement to abound in faith from the prospect of glory, Christ's unchangeableness. Madam, having saluted you in the Lord Jesus, I thought it my duty, having the occasion of this bearer, to write again unto your ladyship, though I have no new purpose but what I wrote of before. Yet ye cannot be too often awakened to go forward towards your city, since your way is long, and, for anything ye know, your day is short. And your Lord requireth of you, as ye advance in years, and steal forward insensibly towards eternity, that your faith may grow and ripen for the Lord's harvest. For the great husbandman giveth a season to his fruits, that they may come to maturity, and having gotten their fill of the tree, they may then be shaken and gathered in for use, whereas the wicked rot upon the tree, and their branch shall not be green. He shall shake off his unripe grape as the vine, and shall cast off his flower as the olive. Job 15:33. It is God's mercy to you, madam, that he giveth you your fill, even to loathing of this bitter world, that ye may willingly leave it, and like a full and satisfied banqueter, long for the drawing of the table. Allusion to Horace, Sat 1:1-19, one of the few allusions to the classics that occur in Rutherford. And at last, having trampled upon your feet all the rotten pleasures that are under sun and moon, and having rejoiced as though ye rejoiced not, and having bought as though ye possessed not, 1 Corinthians 7:30, ye may, like an old crazy ship, arrive at our Lord's harbor, and be made welcome as one of those who have ever had one one foot loose from the earth, longing for that place where your soul shall feast and banquet forever and ever upon a glorious sight of the incomprehensible Trinity, and where ye shall see the fair face of the man Christ, even the beautiful face that was once for your cause more marred than any of the visages of the sons of men. Isaiah 52:14, and was all covered with spitting and blood. Be content to wade through the waters betwixt you and glory with him, holding his hand fast, for he knoweth all the fords. Howbeit, ye may be ducked, but ye cannot drown, being in his company. And ye may all the way to glory see the way bedewed with his blood, who is the forerunner.
This Reformation audio track is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. SWRB makes thousands of classic Reformation resources available, free and for sale, in audio, video, and printed formats. Our many free resources, as well as our complete mail-order catalog, containing thousands of classic and contemporary Puritan and Reform books, tapes, and videos at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, that's EDMONTON, Alberta, abbreviated capital A, capital B, Canada, T6L3T5. You may also request a free printed catalog. And remember that John Calvin, in defending the Reformation's regulative principle of worship, or what is sometimes called the scriptural law of worship, commenting on the words of God, "which I commanded them not, neither came into my heart," from his commentary on Jeremiah 7:31, writes, "God here cuts off from men every occasion for making evasions, since he condemns by this one phrase, 'I have not commanded them,' whatever the Jews devised. There is then no other argument needed to condemn superstitions than that they are not commanded by God. For when men allow themselves to worship God according to their own fancies, and attend not to his commands, they pervert true religion. And if this principle is adopted by the papists, all those fictitious modes of worship in which they absurdly exercise themselves would fall to the ground. It is indeed a horrible thing for the papists to seek to discharge their duties towards God by performing their own superstitions. There is an immense number of them, as it is well known, and as it manifestly appears. Were they to admit this principle, that we cannot rightly worship God except by obeying his word, they would be delivered from their deep abyss of error. The prophet's words, then, are very important, when he says that God had commanded no such thing, and that it never came to his mind, as though he had said that men assume too much wisdom when they devise what he never required, nay, what he never knew."